You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. Welcome to the Nine Finger Chronicles Hunting Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Johnson, and I can't believe that 2024 marks 10 years of podcasting. Over the last decade, I have had the pleasure of talking with hundreds upon hundreds of passionate outdoors men and women who share the same excitement for hunting as I do. Whether you hunt public lands or private property, shoot traditional archery equipment or high-powered rifles, we all have one thing in common. And that's our love for the great outdoors. This year, I plan on continuing that tradition and bringing educational and entertaining content to your ears. Thank you for your continued support, and I hope you all have the best seasons of your life. Good vibes in, good vibes out. Everybody, welcome to another Nine Finger Chronicles. This is the Double D edition. This is two Dans, double D's. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to talk about today. I just was like, dude, I need to catch up with this guy. I like having him on. I like chatting. The last time we were on, it was earlier. I think it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, and you had already had a sip of bourbon. Glass of bourbon.
I almost poured a full glass or just had a bottle sitting here just for fun to go around.
Yeah, dude, I tell you what, it would be fun to start drinking. Like, I'm to the point now as far as age is concerned. Once about 9 o'clock hits, I want to wind down. I want to be done with the day. And I think the older you get, the more you appreciate day drinking.
Like, yeah.
I love day drinking. I love cracking a beer at about, like, tailgating is a perfect example. Yeah. I'm going to go tailgate. I'm going to, you know, go watch a football game. I'm going to come home, take a nap, and then I can do something in the afternoon. Probably not a lot, but do something in the afternoon. If there's no kids activities, whatever. But, dude, day drinking's where it's at.
See, me and my buddy Brad, we've been talking probably for a decade now about how we can't wait to be the old men sitting on our porch judging everybody as they walk by. Yep. And just drinking whiskey and smoking cigarettes while we couldn't care less about the rest of the world.
Yeah. I might not do the cigarettes. I might do some THC type stuff,
to be honest with you. It's mix an and match, yeah. Type of experience, all right?
Maybe a big fat cigar. Like cigars. Dude, I love cigars, man. I love cigars. I used to have this before my kids. I would go turkey hunting with my kids. My turkey hunting, I don't know. I would always take a box of cigars with me, the Swisher Sweet Blunts, into the turkey woods with me. And in the mornings, I'd go around calling, you know, maybe something worked, maybe it didn't. But then when things started quieting down and the toms didn't respond as well, I'd light up that cigar. I'd be sitting against a tree and I'd puff on a cigar for, you know, 20 minutes, move a little bit, puff on, light it back up, whatever the case is. But I used to do that all the time.
Oh yeah. There's something relaxing about it. Like just sitting there. I started out with a pipe tobacco. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I did that for a long time. I hung one on my, duck lanyard. Like my duck call lanyard. So I'd have my goose, my whistle, my mallard call, and then I'd have my pipe. And for the longest time I did that. And then I started, like, ducks would come in. So I'd switch from having the pipe in my mouth to a duck call. And then ashes would start dropping down my waders, and I was like, I'm done with this. This is not a good idea anymore. It's impossible to keep lit while you're in a swamp. And yeah, I just figured better quit before I start myself on fire while duck hunting.
Or you get a worse yet, you drop that pipe down in your waders and you can't get it out, and you get burn a hole in your waders and all the water comes in.
Oh my gosh.
That'd suck.
Dude, the things that can go wrong in a hurry when you're duck hunting is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Or just outdoors and like being away. Well, water makes everything worse.
Yeah.
But being away from a truck a mile, 2 miles, 3 miles, or whatever the case is, that would suck too.
Yeah. I was just talking. My brother came over the other night and we're sitting around the fire, and he was talking about a lake here locally, and he went to fish it. And this guy goes, did you know like one person a week dies on that lake?
No
shit. And I'm like, I go, dude, that's not real. I'm like, he's just pulling your leg. He goes, dude, I looked it up and it's legitimately, it was 53 people died on that lake last year. And
from what? Being drunk and boating?
I didn't look it up, but I mean, I know people get caught in like nasty storms out there. The waves will just pick up out of nowhere. And depending on what, like the parts that we hunt, it's not wide enough to get like 3 foot waves. Right. Mm-hmm. But, I'm pretty sure that's the same lake that decades ago, there was a blizzard that came in and a ton of duck hunters died. Yeah.
I remember that. That's like a duck hunting entry story that people tell. If you're a serious duck hunter, you know the story of that. Yeah. That's crazy, man.
But it's like things go south. I mean, luckily I've only lost my ability to walk one time from a duck hunt, but other than that, like I don't have too many horror stories.
I feel like there's a story that we need to know. Was there alcohol involved?
Zero alcohol. Okay. It was actually on that exact lake that we were just talking about. And it was the best teal hunt I've ever had. It was late season. Typically, the teal are gone. We busted out ice, and the teal were landing and sliding across the ice, waddling over and dropping in the hole that we busted out. And I went to pick up a duck, and they're like, hey, birds, birds, birds. So I'm like booking it back. Well, my wader boot gets caught in the mud, and like as I go to step, it just drops me onto my knee. And I felt a sharp pain in my knee, like I tweaked it or something. Mm-hmm. Didn't think anything of it. Got back to the blind. We kept smashing ducks all morning long. And then I went to stand up, and I couldn't bend my leg. And I'm like, what the heck? Like, I really jacked this up.
Damn.
And it felt wet inside my boot. And so I was like, I punched a hole in the boot. Or, you know, my waders have always, after one season, they get holes and I may or may not fix them. So I didn't think a whole lot of that. But when we went to stand up and pick up, I was literally like dragging my leg behind me. I couldn't bend it at all. And so we get back to the boat. The boat launch, it was just basically a mud bank. My buddy's truck gets stuck in the mud because it had thawed throughout the morning. And I go to take my waders off. And from my knee down on my right, in my right wader, my pant leg was soaked in blood. I literally poured blood out of the boot, and I take my pants all the way off, and I look, and I've got like a butterfly of meat on the top of my kneecap. So whatever I landed on was sharp enough. It cut through my waders, my bibs, my sweatpants, and my long johns all the way down to the kneecap.
Holy shit.
And
you're just sitting there bleeding and you didn't even know it.
Sitting there bleeding, just didn't think anything of it, you know?
God,
and so they're like, dude, we need to call an ambulance because the truck's stuck at this point. We don't know how long it's going to take to get out. And I'm like, don't call an ambulance. And I'm like helping, trying to dig this truck out of the mud. And they're like, dude, you don't look so good. And I'm like, yeah, I don't feel very good right now. And they're like, you're probably going into shock. It's too cold. You've lost too much blood. So they called an ambulance. And yeah, I legitimately couldn't use that leg for a month. I had to go to physical therapy. I would sit on the edge of the bed and like try to extend my leg, and it just wouldn't respond at all. The only thing I can compare it to is like right after you and your wife have mommy daddy time and you have to take a leak and you just can't, like you're trying to tell yourself to pee and it doesn't work.
Okay.
That's exactly what it's like when you can't move your leg. You're just like trying to will it into moving, and it just won't do it. So Yeah.
I've had that scenario work, not mommy daddy time, but like multiple knee surgeries where right after surgery, they try to get you to bend it as much as you can.
Yeah.
And I couldn't do it. So, oh, mommy daddy time. Don't we all wish that we had more mommy daddy time?
My wife is on a tear right now. She wants another baby really bad. And yeah, you're telling me.
That's a good thing though. Like you only got two. How many kids you got? Two?
We've got two.
Yeah.
But the youngest is six right now.
Right.
And I'm like, man, that means they're going to be out of
start
the house.
Start over.
Got a teen. Yeah. We're essentially starting over.
How old are you?
And I know what's going to happen. She's going to say, oh, now they're going to be all alone. So she's going to want another one.
A four. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I would be a weak man, dude. I would be like, that's how my wife tricked me in my third one. I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious. She goes, I can't even remember. I'm guessing it was New Year's Eve because he was born September 23rd, somewhere around that, you know, that 10 month period or that 40 week period, or however, whatever it was. And I was like, well, I'm going to go get a condom. And my wife goes, oh, don't worry. I'm not ovulating. Wrong. She knew. She took advantage of me, dude. She took advantage of me.
Yeah.
But now I have my youngest son and I wouldn't trade him for the world. So I love it.
Here's the thing. I told her a while back, like, I wouldn't be mad. I've got buddies that would be like, this is the end of the world if they got pregnant again. I've never had that mindset. But I can't blame it all on her because she was set to get her tubes tied. And something just didn't sit right with me about like taking the option off the table completely. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, if down the road we want to, now we can't. Mm-hmm. And I just said, I just don't feel right. So the night before she was supposed to go in, she called the hospital and canceled her appointment. But she took that from me as I want another baby right now. So for weeks, she's just like,
baby time.
So are we doing this? Are we doing this? Are we doing this? And she's tracking her cycle. She's doing everything that she needs to get pregnant again. And I'm still probably 40, 60, the opposite direction.
Your man weakness is going to give in and you're going to have a third child.
No, like, I know.
It's going to happen, dude. You're going to be like, some night you're going to be like, oh, and she's going to be like a siren. Come here, Dan. Mm-hmm. Come here. Yep. And then boom, pregnant. And then mommy daddy time goes away for a while when there's a newborn in the house and nobody is enjoying anything at that point.
Yeah.
So,
the other day, I think it was like 2 or 3 days ago, she came home. She was on her way to Kansas City or she was about to leave. And she's like, hey, I've got 20 extra minutes. So she legitimately turned around and came back home and was like, hey, babe, I've got some extra time before I have to meet up in Kansas City. I thought, you know, it was going to take longer to get up there. So I came back and she goes, here's the thing. We can do it. But if we do it right now, you're looking at like probably Wisconsin rifle season that we would have a baby. And she's like, so I figure we better use protection until after. And I'm like, the fact that you are so
she's thinking about
right
it
now. I'm like, you are so like, you're legitimately trying to play into the hunting season. Hey, I don't want to get pregnant yet, but just so you know, but she was like timing it all out to where it's like, we can either do it for the next 2 weeks and then nothing during, you know, whatever would land in hunting season. Mm-hmm. And then we could pick back up and she's thought through it so much. And I'm just like, stay away from me. I know what you're up to.
Well, dude, that's true love though. That's true love. She's thinking about you. She's trying to accomplish her needs and getting pregnant. Now I have to ask you this question. 365 days are in a year. God knows how many outdoor seasons that is, hunting season that is. If you're going to have a baby in any month and you're going to have to miss a specific season, what season are you missing?
Turkey season.
You're missing turkey season.
For sure.
That's valid.
It's the thing I care least about.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to have, I don't want her to be at the end of pregnancy in the summer, because like we could avoid all seasons together and she just has a July or August baby. But that summertime,
then you got a newborn coming into the elk hunt.
Yeah. So it's like, by if she has a baby during turkey season, that gives me enough time. The baby is way more self-sufficient, obviously not like eating and crawling and all that stuff right away, but it's not totally dependent, like 15 feedings a day type of dependent by the time big game season comes. So yeah, turkey season for sure.
Yeah. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. All right. Now I'm going to continue some of this conversation, but I do have to do some partnerships. So I apologize. We were on a good roll, but I got to pay the bills and I'm going to run through these real quick. If you're looking for a saddle hunting accessories, go check out Tethered. If you want, in my opinion, one of the best built broadheads on the market with the best material, go check out wasparchery.com, discount code NFC20. Vortex Optics, it's a no-brainer. We love our Vortex Optics. Go check out vortexoptics.com. When it comes to optics, man, absolutely everything you need for your firearm, for your hunts, whatever, vortexoptics.com. Code Blue Sense. I'm a huge fan of the Rope-A-Dope mock scrape kit. They have real synthetic deer urines. They got scent elimination products. Go check out CodeBlueSense.com, discount code NFC20. We got Huntworth. I'm a huge fan of their heat boost technology in their cold weather stuff. They make some badass gloves. I love the solid color options that they have just come out with, and that would be HuntworthGear.com. Tacticam. And their Reveal 3.0 trail cameras, absolutely ease of use is what I'm getting at here. You scan a QR code, you put the batteries in the camera, you download the app, and your trail camera is ready to go. It takes just a handful of minutes to get set up, and it's ready to start taking pictures and sending it to your phone. And then last but not least, we have Full Sneak Gear. That's my company. I've just released two new t-shirts, the Deadlift Dead Bucks and the Double Lung, the Broadside Double Lung t-shirts. They're both badass. They're selling like hotcakes. Go pick a couple of those up. And that's me whoring out so I can make my money so I can continue BS sessions like this, Dan.
Dude, we all do it one way or another. Yep. That could be honey-do lists. Mm-hmm. Like that could be a person's version of whoring out. Mm-hmm. Like, I got to build those brownie points so I can go out and rabbit hunt, squirrel hunt, deer hunt, you name it.
Yeah, I don't do what I'm doing right now so I can hunt more. I do this so I can make my wife happy and pay the bills and take her out to dinners and take, you know, take the family on vacations and all that shit. So that's why I do it. That's why. And I hope all of you guys understand every time you hear me read a commercial or you hear a commercial on this podcast or anything on the network, just know that those commercials help out families all over the country deal with, just basically deal with life issues. And so that they at some point can sneak away and go hunt for a week or so. So thank you for listening to our commercials.
Dude, right. The commercial side of things, like I have people ask, like, how do you keep from selling out, right? How do you keep from selling out? And I'm like, we all sell out to some extent, you know? Like, is it selling out if I was just working a 40-hour-a-week job that I don't want to be at so that I can go out and hunt? So that so it's like, man, if I can promote some good product, I don't find that selling out at all, you know?
Yeah. And if I'm selling out, isn't that the goal? Is to sell, like, is to step away from, for me, it was to step away from the cubicle job, right?
Yeah.
And make a business out of what I do and kind of in the same shoes as you. I mean, let's be honest. Where would you be right now if you weren't doing this? Like, what would your full-time job be if you had to guess? If this hunting, podcasting thing, social media thing wasn't, if you weren't doing it, what would you be doing?
Oh, I'd be on a construction crew somewhere, probably. Mm-hmm. Building houses in a subdivision or putting a roof on or maybe a warehouse job. I mean, like 95% of my adult life has been construction or warehouse.
Yeah.
I don't have a degree. I'm a hard worker. Like, I don't mind working with my hands at all. In fact, right now, the church I go to, they're renovating their first building. And yeah. So I've been there almost every day. And so, yeah, I'd be working with my hands somewhere, yeah. Probably freezing my butt off because it's winter and coming home just exhausted.
Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue-collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue-collar workers for blue-collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
So the fact that I don't have to go and do all that stuff is pretty awesome.
Yeah. Same here, man. I'd be sitting in a cubicle basically lying to people all day about how awesome our product is for you. And this is going to be so great for you or whatever.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
This episode is brought to you by Peloton. Break through the busiest time of year with the brand new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus. Powered by Peloton IQ. With real-time guidance and endless ways to move, you can personalize your workouts and train with confidence, helping you reach your goals in less time. Let yourself run, lift, sculpt, push, and go. Explore the new Peloton Cross Training Tread Plus at onepeloton.com.
And so I'd be sitting in a cubicle for some big multinational corporation, or I would be on some industrial line making something, you know, or being some manager by now, hopefully. So, you know, not saying that any of those things suck, but that's where I would be, and selling out has helped me get away from that. So
yeah,
man, I'll sell out any day of the week to not have to go back to that.
Well, like the financial side of it, the financial benefit that comes from working for yourself or like building your own brand is great. But for me, it's the time freedom, you know,
100%.
Like how good does it feel to not have to call somebody up or fill out a piece of paperwork to leave town?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I could not go back to that at this point. There's just something freeing about it to just be able to get up and go and not answer to somebody else.
Well, and my personal favorite is, yes, that's great. But dude, I was put on this earth to be a dad. Like I love hanging with my kids. Like I don't even hang out. I don't have buddies. I'd rather hang out with my kids, shoot some hoops in my front yard, throw the football around, you know, go to the park, go fishing, whatever the case. And I can do that whenever I want now. And so just being there for my kids, that's something that I will work as hard as possible to continue to keep that. And so I love that. That's my thing.
Yeah, the amount of time that I get to spend with my wife and kids is awesome. What I've found is with my kids, they don't know what it's like to not have me around. I mean, they were both young when I was working full time for somebody else and when I was gone all the time. And then we hit the road in an RV as a family. So we were around each other 24/7. So if I'm gone, even for an afternoon, if they get home from school and I'm gone for something, they're like, "Where's Dad?" And it's devastating to them because they're so used to me being around. And I'm like, "You have no idea how good you have it." My dad was a over the road trucker. So he was gone sometimes a week, 2 weeks at a time. And then he would be home for maybe the night, maybe a day, and then he'd be gone again. And that was basically all of elementary school for me. And so I tell, like, it's hard because you can't be like, "Well, hey, look at how good you have it." But at the same time, they're kids. So whatever the normal is, they want more than their normal.
That's fair. I want to go back to this work thing. And I don't know why this popped up into my head. I wanted to bring this up with you. I think you're the perfect person to talk about this because of your construction background. What was the worst job? And you can name multiple. What was the worst job you've ever had that you hated the absolute most?
Man, there have been a couple bad ones. There was one, I worked at a warehouse and we packaged doors. So like the doors would come off the assembly line. We would package them, interior and exterior doors. I mean, solid core, hollow glass doors, you name it. And the job itself wasn't terrible until I decided I was going to move down to Missouri from Wisconsin. And I gave them my 2 week notice. As soon as they got my notice, they put me on the fiberglass cutout.
Oh, shit.
And all of these fiberglass door frames, all the cutouts where they had to put the glass in would come down a conveyor, and it was just a cloud of fiberglass back there. And I wasn't dressed for it. It was literally like I showed up, talked to my boss, told him, and he immediately pulled me off of the spot that I had been working my entire time there and put me in that fiberglass cutout. And I worked there for the morning, and I left for lunch with a buddy who worked there. And when we got back to the warehouse after lunch, I just handed him my badge. I said, "Turn this in for me. I'm getting my car. I'm not coming back." Like, it was only a morning, but dude, it was so bad. 'Cause normally, like, the guys who would work over there, they'd have full, like, long sleeves on, they'd have gloves. I didn't have any of that 'cause I'm not used to working there. I work a totally different line. And so I left from there right away. The only other job, I worked for Ashley Furniture, and as a whole, it was just, you know, it was manual labor, moving furniture fresh off the line into bays. And it wasn't bad until one day I was on a cherry picker, which, if people don't know what that is, it's a forklift that you go up all the way to the top with the forklift. And so I get a thing on my scanner. It tells me what bay I have to put the furniture at, and it was a bay that I had never put furniture at, and I'd been there for quite a while. And so I'm like, "All right, this is weird. I've never even been to this specific spot in the warehouse." And I'm going up, and I'm to the point where, like, the top tier of the racking just had passed me, and all of a sudden I hear poof, and I'm instantly soaked head to toe, and I'm like, "What the heck?" So I go down as fast as I can. There's a water main in the ceiling that I hit with the top of that cherry picker. And apparently they had shut that bay down like a year ago, but something reset in the system and opened it back up for storage. And so anyways, I can't remember. It was thousands of gallons a minute that were dumping out of it. We had to move furniture. There were 100 guys in there with push brooms, squeegees, you name it. The forklifts, people were just manually carrying furniture because everything underneath was leather sleeper sofas. And so it was just bad news. So
holy shit,
my job changed. I had to move all of that furniture over to a new portion of the warehouse and let it dry out for like a month. And
holy shit.
my boss was cool enough. He said, "Can you pass a drug test?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "If you can't, let me know, because I don't want to lose you." He's like, "I go, no, I can pass a drug test. We're good." So
yeah. Yeah, doesn't that suck? Like, I was a manager at a factory, and I had like 11 people working for me. And this one kid, dude, he showed initiative. He was a hard worker. He came in, and I was like, "Dude, you're going to be my assistant manager." Like, and then the office got a hold of it and was like, "Well, this guy can't be. He has to have a, you know, we want degrees, we want experience." I'm like, "This guy here knows everything already, and yeah. I don't need to train him to do what I want him to do. He knows how to do it." And they're like, "Well, we're trying to go to a different model." I'm like, "Oh, Jesus Christ." And so it was horrible. It sucked because this guy eventually ended up leaving because of that. But I don't think he would have passed a drug test. But he was a hard worker. And so, you know, is what it is.
Dude, it's you got to work hard to pay for expensive hobbies.
Exactly. Exactly. Especially, like, I don't know what, like, if that was a hunting reference or if that was a drug using reference.
No, it was
the
drug use reference, for sure.
Ah, shit. Dude, here's one of my worst jobs. So I used to be a lifeguard. Dude.
There's got to be some memes out there. How many people know about this?
I don't probably not a lot.
Oh,
I mean, I'm probably
going,
just
your face is going on Hasselhoff's body in like
I hope
about
so.
35 minutes, just so you know.
I hope so. But check this out. So I was a lifeguard, and at about 12 years old, I started, I was doing this, I might have been 10, 11, or 12 years old, and I did the highest advanced water safety class that they had, and one of the managers of the city pool was like, "Hey, dude, this guy's really good," and because I was in this class, it was water safety, so you would take, if you fell out of a boat or through the ice, you used your clothes, and you created flotation devices with your jeans. So we had to jump into the pool in shoes and jeans and long sleeve shirts and stocking caps and things like that. And then we had to make flotation devices out of our jeans. Dang. And so long story short, the guy's like, "Dude, when you turn 12, I want you to come here and be an assistant lifeguard." And so at 12 years old, I was teaching kids, like younger kids, and as I would get older, I started teaching kids that were older than me swimming lessons. It was awesome, but it sucked because no one listened to me. They're like, "Dude, you're 2 years younger than me. Why the hell am I going to listen to you?" Right.
Yeah.
And so then I became a lifeguard, and then I became a senior lifeguard. And so that was the best job ever. Right. Dude, you basically just yell at kids for running. I had to jump in like 4 times in 4 years because some kid jumped off the diving board and he didn't know how to swim right. And so you jump in, you pull a kid out, no big deal. But the best part was staring at all the girls my age in bikinis and even some of the moms, right? That was the best. Like, that was the best. Well, one summer, my dad and mom were like, "Hey, we don't think that's a real job. That's not a real job." And so I was like, "Well, wait, I'm getting full hours here. Like I'm working from, I think swimming lessons started at 9 and then they would go to 11. Then you'd have a break, from like noon or 11 to noon. And then the pool opened at 1:00 PM. And then after that, I would work, you know, 6 hours, 7 hours until the pool closed or whatever my shift was. But they didn't think that was a real job that summer. And so my dad, he was in construction, and he got me a job at another construction company. And he was like, "Hey, listen, you're going to do this. You know, this is going to give you like a sense of reality." And so my first job with that company was they would take loads of concrete that they had broken out of whatever place that they were doing, and they would dump it in a pile. My job was to break the rebar out of it and sort the rebar if it could be used again or if it was bent and needed to be tossed. And so in between these 10 buildings, June, July, August, I was sitting there with a pick, a sledgehammer, and even like a very small motorized jackhammer. It was probably, I don't know, like 2 foot long. It wasn't a big jackhammer. And I'm sitting there just roasting in between these buildings. And that's pretty much all I did all summer long. And it was the worst job. And I can remember getting poison ivy that summer too. And then having to do that. Oh my God, brutal. It sucked so bad. And, my mom was like using that as a motivator, because initially I didn't want to go to college.
Yeah.
But she kind of threw me in that and was like, okay, if once he does this job, then he'll want to go to college. And she was right, man.
For a long time.
Yeah. I ended up going to college, which I didn't do shit in college anyway. But so that was by far one of the worst, like physically, mentally draining. I would come home at like 5 o'clock. And I would just be done. I mean, I was done. Like, I couldn't do anything. And then one of the other jobs, and I've had some crazy jobs, but I worked in a kitchen. And in the summertime, in the wintertime, when I wasn't working that construction job, and after football was over, I would get a job I worked there for a couple years, I believe, in the wintertime. Washing dishes at a restaurant, not too terribly bad, right? Just sitting there, you're soaking wet. You got the rubber bib on. You're cleaning the dishes. You throw them in a dishwasher. You take them out. You stack them. It's not a big deal. Yeah. The big deal is watching how the back portion of the restaurant operates and how absolutely filthy and disgusting it was. I can remember them mixing up this hamburger type mixture for their pizzas that they would make. And they, you know, they put like 15 pounds of a ground hamburger in this mixer. They put all the seasonings in it. They turn it on. Well, there was a couple times where the guy running that machine, it would overflow and it would drop on the floor. That dude just picked it right back up and dropped it right back in there. And I was like, oh my God. And at that point I told my mom, don't ever order pizza or any food from here again. Do not ever eat. I told all my friends, don't eat here. This is what happened. Like, it's absolutely disgusting. And,
oh my God,
it was nasty. Just like some of the food, like they would, it's not a restaurant anymore. So those listening, it's not there anymore, but they would like,
please share the name in the comments.
So like food would expire. They would take a permanent marker, scratch it out and put a new date on it.
We're leaving today and entering a world of Mickey Mouse waving, princess meeting and greeting, lightsaber clashing, the Twilight Zone Tower of Terror dropping, Banshee flying, Space Mountain launching, galaxy rewinding, what is the whole network galaxy rewinding, fireworks igniting, world of other worlds, for whatever you love, infinite worlds await at the most magical place on earth, Walt Disney World Resort.
Sierra has all the best active and outdoor brands you need, from athletic stuff, like a full court pickup game, swish, to athletic-ish stuff, like a half mile stroll, get those steps in. And for morning hikes up the mountain trail, good pace. To nighttime ghost stories from the camping chair. What a twist. Whatever level of active, Sierra loves it all. Head to Sierra or Sierra.com for the brands you want at the prices that let you do it all. From athletic to athletic-ish, Sierra's got it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
No.
Just like that.
I couldn't do the food side of things. I never worked for a restaurant. I worked at McDonald's for 3 days and then deer season came and they said, you have to find someone to cover your shift, which is not going to happen in Wisconsin. So right. I was like, well, I'm going to not be here for the next week. And so anyways, they just let me go. Yeah. I just couldn't do the food prep side of things, like working in a food factory or like the hot dogs, like the anything to do with food, I'm out. I can do dirty jobs. I could go scoop manure if I had to, but dealing with food and even the dishes, like if it's freshly used dishes, I can handle that. when dishes get piled up in the sink, it is one of the nastiest things. Like, wet food is so gross to me.
I would come in there, and there would be stacks of dishes taller than me. And I would just have to sit there. And I'd take the trash out, and I was a grunt, right? And so it was weird because it was a foreign couple. I think they were from like Greece, and they did not give a shit about like food safety laws at all. They just didn't give a shit. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we're not throwing this away. We paid money for it, right? And so yeah. I was, oh my God, I'm glad I left when I left.
No,
I'm trying to think of any other jobs that really sucked. I'm going to tell this very short story. You mentioned hot dogs, how hot dogs are made.
Yeah. Right?
It's basically a puree that turns into like a gelatin type deal. And then it's forced through what looks like a machine gun. And it's just, I mean, they come out 100 miles an hour, and it's just hot dog, hot dog, hot dog. And it is what it is, right? It's like, yeah. It's just, it is what it is. There was a dude with one of the companies that I was working with. I wasn't there, but it happened. And so the USDA says that in order for these food service things to like it to be food ready, food prep ready, you have to go through every 24 hours, you have to clean the facility from roof to floor.
Dang.
And there was a time where in order to properly clean those, you have to work that while it's running. Okay. To get all the food out of it. So you have to run the machine, put the sanitizer in it, the soap, rinse it out, all that stuff. Well, one time a guy was on a ladder in this, one of these machines, and they threw a rope to try to get some more slack in their rope so they could reach and clean one of these machines while it's running. Well, I don't know if they forgot to put the safety guard down or what the deal was, but that hose got caught in an auger and it started pulling tight on him. So instead of letting go and letting it just pull the hose in, the guy tried to yank it out, but it was behind him. So when he pushed to get the rope out, it actually pushed him into that machine. And let's just say there was not much of this dude left when,
oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. It was absolutely gnarly. Gnarly. And so that was a huge thing that went down. I mean, this would have been 20 years ago when this happened. Yeah. And so it was gnarly, man. It was gnarly.
Dude, the mass produced meat side of things, like if I get a burger, right, mm-hmm. you get like the pack of Black Angus beef burgers from Sam's Club or something, and you grill them up. When I'm eating a burger and I get one of those bites where it like catches between your teeth and you're like, ah, that's hard. Like, I don't know what that was.
Bone, piece of bone or something. Yeah.
I'm like, dude, that's bone. That could be some dude's name tag that fell while he was working. You know what I mean? Like,
I do.
There is just no telling what it is. Yep. And things like that happen all the time. Now, yeah. I don't care. I could watch those shows all day long and then go outside and grill some hot dogs.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I've been eating them all my life. I'm not going to start something new. I'm not going to eat a new food that I watch on there. You know, mm-hmm. like, I'm not going to introduce something to my diet. But if I've already been eating it, I'm like, I've eaten the worst. It doesn't matter. Yeah. I don't care.
And this is the thing that pisses me off the most. And it is when people are anti-hunting, but still eat meat.
Yeah. Right? Oh, dude, it's so dumb.
I had a conversation with one of my wife's friends a long time ago, and she was kind of like, she made this comment like, you know, hunting is kind of savagery and we don't need to hunt anymore. And so I pulled up a picture of how hogs are instantly euthanized. They get off the trailer, they shove them into this box. It electrocutes the shit out of them, and they fry. And then their lifeless bodies are pushed in by this machine, and then they're hung up, and then they're pretty much just taken apart at that point.
Yeah.
Like, I worked in a facility, and I told this story a long time ago, but I worked in a facility. It was a turkey kill plant.
like Butterball, Tyson, you know, all the places that make turkey. They hang them up on these calipers. They run their neck and head through what looks like a pitching wheel with a razor blade on the other side, cuts their throat. They try to get them to bleed out. They get pulled into this thing called the blood room, and it's all these flapping turkeys just gushing blood, and it's just spraying blood on the walls. There's probably about 4 inches of blood through this in this room draining down. These turkeys are still somewhat alive after that. Then they get dipped into scalding hot water, and then they run through this machine that looks like a bunch of dildos on it, and it slaps the feathers off of their body to defeather them. And sometimes they're still not dead after that. Okay. And then after that, they get a vacuum shoved up their butt, and all of that stuff gets sucked right out. And then they're dead after that. But it's like people who bitch about hunters. Like, I know that when I kill a deer or a turkey, it's dead. Like, I'm not saying every time, because, you know, let's be honest, sometimes bad shots happen. But like this year, my Kansas buck, he was dead in 30 seconds. My South Dakota buck, he was dead in a minute. He was dead in under a minute. And so these animals that are like, let's not kid ourselves, man. They're being tortured before they die.
Yeah.
And so whenever I open up a backstrap package and I throw it on the grill, there's one set of hands that touch that, and that's mine.
Yep.
And so I don't know.
Yeah,
but it's not. I'll still eat the hot dogs.
It's not even the factory side of things either. It's just the natural world. Like, when people are like, "Oh, you're killing these innocent animals," and I'm not out here saying like, "Oh, I'm the savior of all these animals and I give them the easiest death." But in reality,
it is.
There is no better death for a wild animal than that. They're going to get the only. Other one would be getting hit by a car and dying instantly.
Instantly, yep.
But I've seen multiple deer get hit. I've been in the vehicle when deer get hit, and they're just laying on the side of the road with their back snapped, just doing
flailing.
That nasty doe bleat that you hear. I mean, it's just the worst sound. Or they're getting hamstrung by coyotes and being eaten alive while they're watching them tear out their stomach, you know, like disease, you name it. When I shoot a deer,
that's the easiest death
animal could ask for.
Yeah. We were shed hunting once and we came across a doe who had been, she tried to jump a fence and she got caught in it. And we bumped about three coyotes out of there, eating her from the back end forward. And she was still alive with that. And so we ended her, but I mean, don't ever bitch about hunters, man. We are probably the most ethical types of people when it comes to wildlife that there are. Now there's some bad apples out there, just like is for everybody. But man, that pisses me off when people eat meat and then they bitch about me hunting. Idiots.
Idiots. My good buddy was just at, his sister was in town. Her and her husband are vegan. And they don't have a problem with him hunting. Like, we hunt all the time. We tell stories. And so he went to a music shop with her because she had to get like a ukulele string or something like that. I don't remember what it was. And he ran into some buddies of his. Or no, they weren't buddies of his. He saw like a Ducks Unlimited sticker on the back of this guy's truck in the parking lot. And so he walked in and he's like, what's funny is you can pick a hunter out in a music shop very quickly. So we strike up a conversation and the conversation gets to a point where the guy's like, oh dude, the only thing better than shooting a bird out of the sky is like when it lands on the ground and it's like a goose isn't dead and you just have to grab the barrel of your shotgun and like club it over the head or whatever. And it's just like the dumb guy talk that the barbarian that comes out of guys for some reason. And Chris is sitting there laughing the whole time because his sister and brother-in-law are standing right there.
Sweating.
And this guy's just assuming that he's among friends. Like, we're all hunters. We've all been there. Yep. And Chris finally, at the end of it, goes, dude, the funniest part about this whole interaction is these two are like vegan.
Right.
And it's all because animal cruelty. Mm-hmm. And he goes, the color left that guy's face faster than the story came out of his mouth. Like, it was hilarious. And he's like, dude, I'm so sorry. And they're like, no, it's all good. But I mean, we took them out hunting. It was fun. Like, we took them hunting and, or not hunting. We took them out shooting. Like, they hadn't shot guns before. And we just kind of introduced them to the outdoors a little bit while they were visiting. Yeah. But yeah.
Let's not get it twisted, Dan, though. Turkey comes in full strut and it takes an entire shell to the face at about 10 yards. There's something that may make me sound like an asshole, but there's something really cool about that, right? Just the neck goes whoop backwards and it's over. I mean, it's over for him.
You just know.
You pray for those types of shots because it's over quickly. But like, turkey hunting's kind of brutal because if they're going to die, but you have to do the head step. Right? You have to step on them while they're flopping around. It's part of it. But, like, there's something barbarian / awesome about watching a turkey's head just boom. And I don't know. And that's the real hunter talking, right? It's not the watered-down version that we
not the PC guy.
The PC that we have to say on social media so nobody gets offended or whatever the case is. You know, this clip isn't going to go on Instagram, but you know what I mean? But that's the reality is hunters kill animals. They kill animals, dude. I mean, but we do it. It's hard to explain. How do you explain to a person we enjoy killing life, but we do it because we love them? It's such a hard, it's such a hard conversation to have. And to be honest, I don't even know how I would communicate that to somebody.
Yeah. It's, dude, I think there's so much that is just in our blood from, you know, human history doing this stuff, where when you get that weird, like, giddy joy after shooting something and people are like, oh my gosh, you're just celebrating death. Injuring an animal or watching that animal bleed or killing it. And it's like, there's something in each of us that goes way beyond us in like previous generations, that it's that we know we're getting food now. You know what I mean? Like, this is how all of civilization has existed for centuries. The idea that killing animals to sustain ourselves is cruel is one of the most recent ideologies that's on the planet. You know what
that's
I mean?
A fact. Yep.
Like that and more than two genders. Those are like the newest things to hit the market, you know, and I just don't think either of them are going to take long term.
Exactly. Like, I can remember the, man, it was some show, hunting show that went to Africa, and they were talking to people about like, what would happen if someone told you that you shouldn't kill this animal for food? And it basically was just a joke to them, right?
Yeah.
This isn't reality for us. So,
I mean, there's a pretty high level of respect that I have for people like Ted Nugent or Tim Wells. Like, dude, watching Tim Wells out there hunting, watching him lop the head off of a turkey with a guillotine broadhead or
spear. Spear something.
Spearing something out of a tree, like trying to sneak up and be the first person to spear a grizzly bear.
Yeah.
The, like, first recorded person, I guess. I'm sure it happened a long time ago.
Long time ago, yeah.
But, like, he's getting back to it, and people are like, oh, it's inhumane to shoot a black bear with a blow dart. And he's going, well, I've never had one get out of sight before it died.
Yeah.
So how inhumane is that? Like, he's a better shot with a bow and arrow on a flying dove than I am with a shotgun. And he celebrates every time. He laughs and he gets excited. And part of me is like, dude, it's just raw. That's his natural response. He shouldn't have to hide the way he feels after shooting something so that people online are happy with him.
Absolutely. I'm glad this conversation got back to hunting in some way, shape, or form. Now we can actually call it a hunting podcast.
Yeah, not just dirty jobs.
Yeah, not just dirty jobs. There you go. Well, thanks, man. Thanks for hopping on and BSing today. And that's what this episode was. I don't think we covered anything serious per se. We covered a good couple topics, but nothing groundbreaking. But we need that in our life, right?
Yeah. Nobody's killing a bigger buck because of this conversation.
Exactly. Exactly. There you go. Well, thanks, Dan. I appreciate your time. And ladies and gentlemen, go check out the Nomadic Outdoorsman podcast on the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network. Great, great, great podcast full of great conversations with great people. Dan, man, thank you.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Saw the game-winning play once, but have to replay it 3 times on the way back to the hotel, because some moments don't end at the buzzer. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
President's Day savings are happening now at the Home Depot with up to 40% off select appliances. Looking to upgrade your fridge? Check out LG's newest model, serving up ice in all kinds of styles. Cube, crushed, craft ice, and now new mini craft ice straight from the dispenser. From cold brew to fizzy favorites, these refrigerators will have you entertaining like a pro. Shop President's Day savings and get up to 40% off, plus free delivery on select appliances like LG at the Home Depot. Free delivery on appliance purchases of $1,498 or more. Offer valid February 5th through the 25th, U.S. only. See store online for details.
Starting a business can seem like a daunting task, unless you have a partner like Shopify. They have the tools you need to start and grow your business. From designing a website to marketing to selling and beyond, Shopify can help with everything you need. There's a reason millions of companies like Mattel, Heinz, and Allbirds continue to trust and use them. With Shopify on your side, turn your big business idea into... Sign up for your $1 per month trial at shopify.com/special offer.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.